This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for the Horse Radio Network for August 29th, episode 1505, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We really appreciate you being here. And for all the new listeners out there, thank you for giving us a try. We always tell everybody, give us a week. Give us a couple of days. You'll figure
you'll
the
like
show
us
out.
After, you'll, yeah, you'll yeah. Like, you don't like us at first.
No, you're going to hate this show. But but you give it a couple days, you'll be fine.
Like, you hate it. You're just like, okay, yeah. This is ridiculous. But hey, it's real.
And of course, we have to start the show with the correction from Friday's show, because apparently I made a mistake. Catherine Cook posted that out of respect for my dear departed Swiss grandmother, I have to tell you that the Spitzhoben chickens are Swiss, not German. It's important, I promise.
Now, what we talked about is that I ended up with some Spitzhoben chickens because I purchased them. Is that why we talked about
yes,
it?
Yes, and I was making jokes about them being German and are they in the, you know, I've made bad jokes.
Well, here's the thing, Glenn, as I started doing some research and I purchased the Spitzhoben chickens from a company called efowl.com and they sell.
Is it really called efowl.com?
Yeah, exactly. You laugh. I didn't even think that was funny. So
that's funny.
And I purchased German silver Spitzhoben chickens. And they're called German silver Spitzhoben chickens. Now, I did some research because, you know me, I don't like to apologize for anything. The Appenzeller Spitzhoben chickens is the national breed of Switzerland. So technically,
they have a national breed of chicken in Switzerland. Okay, that's another thing.
Yeah, exactly. So I would like to say that I am standing by and I do really send massive good feelings to your grandmother. I love her. I'm sure she was amazing. But we weren't talking about the Appenzeller Spitzhoben. We were talking about the German silver Spitzhoben. Are we done here?
Jamie does not like to be wrong, ever.
By the way, they are having a summer sale on the German silver Spitzhoben chickens for $4.59.
Guaranteed at 5 roosters for every hen.
No. 5 roosters, no hens. They don't have hens. Apparently, they don't make girls, just boys, because my girlfriend that lives in Cape Creek got 5 of them. And all 5 were roosters.
You know, so, new people tuning in for the first time this morning thought this was a show about horses.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
Where were
it's
they wrong? Life.
It's lifestyle. Lifestyle right. Show.
That's right. Jennifer, what is today's show about?
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, Becky Sweeney from Happy Hooves Therapeutic Equestrian Center is going to make a visit and
or
talk about
hooves.
How you become...
What?
Say again?
I said, or Happy Hooves Rescue, whatever.
Yeah.
That whole hooves thing
hooves.
Gets me.
Hooves came first before hooves.
Yes.
And the horse station's Kristen is going to stop by and she's going to have her top post picks. And Glenn is going to review Dark Horse, the documentary. So stay tuned for the free, folks.
Plus, we have, did you mention Hope Hand coming, stopping by? We're going to be talking parents.
I did not, because it wasn't in my show notes.
Yeah, it was a late edition. We're going to be talking a little bit.
Late edition! Ding, 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 ding.
Hope is president of the United States Para-Equestrian Association, and they're all getting ready to head to Rio for the Paralympics, and she is going to stop by and talk to us a little bit about who's going to be representing the women's, or the equestrian team down there. So it's all women on our team. Not all teams have all women, but ours does.
Woo-hoo.
All right, Daily Winnie time. All right, the Daily Winnie. My Daily Winnie goes out to a couple of auditors, Desiree on her new horse. She got a new horse over the weekend. And also, Katie, congratulations on your Western Dressage show. I saw a blue ribbon there. So, and I'm sure there was lots more things that happened to auditors over the weekend that they posted, but that dang auditor page is so busy, I cannot keep track of who's doing what over there. So I apologize to everybody I missed who did really cool stuff over the weekend.
Gosh, I don't know who to give my Daily Winnie to. I mean, first off, Lucas had a barrel race where he went last Friday night, and my friend has a little mini that she takes her son on, who's Lucas's age. So I put Lucas on it, and we went and did the barrel race, and I knew which way I was going this time.
Because it is a lead line barrel race, to clarify, because she wasn't riding with Lucas on the pony.
So my first Daily Winnie goes to Lucas. I'm leading him, and the pony had already gone once, and he wanted no part of it. So I'm like pulling with my left hand, holding Lucas's leg with my right hand. And I thought, let's trot just a second. So I start trot, 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 and I get him trotting about three steps. He's like, Mama, stop, stop, it hurts. And I said, well, like thinking he's getting a saddle rub or something. I go, what hurts? What hurts? And he goes, my wiener hurts. So that's Daily Winnie number one.
They obviously don't make those saddles for three-year-olds.
No, they do not. They do not. Well, I don't know how boys ride anyways. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't get it. So whatever. Second Daily Winnie goes to my poor, dearly loved Lucky, our Basset Hound. He has been, let's just say,
your
he's
rescue,
had a
rescue Basset Hound. Let's clarify.
Yeah, I adopted him, I think, last October. We started GoFundMe. He's had over $2,000 worth of veterinary care. He had ear infections and tooth problems, and I found a vet who, for $800, one of the surgeries was to just pull the loose teeth. So he had 9 or 10 teeth pulled, and he just had this. When I came back from California, he just had that funk, that stink, you know? And so I looked at his ears. He had another ear infection. So I cleared the ear infection like I did last time with the leftover medicine from the last dermatologist appointment that we went to. And he still had the funk. Ear infection cleared up, but he still stunk. So bless his heart, I took him to the vet on Friday, and all the rest of his teeth are bad. All of them. So he has to have an entire tooth removal, except for like the very front teeth. But from the canines back, everything has to go. Everything is infected, all the gums and everything. So bless his heart. Apparently, they will eat hard food later in life when they're healed. But, well, you know, he'll be on a soft food diet. But they quoted me to just pull the teeth. $1,000. And this is,
well, there aren't that many left, are there?
Right? And they put on the where they write everything down, like they give you the estimate. They put on there for a cleaning, and then on top of that for the surgery. And I said, there's nothing to clean. You're pulling all the teeth.
Exactly.
I can brush the front ones. Like, just don't put the cleaning on there. Oh, no, this is part of the package. You have to put that on there. So anyway,
what are they cleaning? Are they going to clean them after they take them out?
Really, here, I polished a tooth for you. Here you go. His gums are so bad. That stink is coming from his mouth. And I was just like, this is ridiculous. But he needs it. So I came home and I was like, oh my God, Chad's going to kill me. He's just going to kill me. And the vet that I had used for his last surgery has retired. So that I was kind of having to deal with a new person, and they didn't really understand the situation. So I found a vet through a reference, through a friend, and I called him and made an appointment, and he is going in on, let me see, let me click on my calendar. He is going in on Friday the 9th, unless they have a cancellation before that, because that's how booked up they are, because they told me it would cost me $250.
Wow.
They're like, I said, they're kind of a low cost vet. Yeah. And I think they gave me that price thinking that it would scare me. I was like, oh my God, $250? Great for my $10 adoption that I've already spent $2,000 on. Here's my credit card. Take $300. That's fine. So Lucky has more surgery. So that's my second dilly Winnie. And my third one.
A dog with no teeth.
Yes, I know. Bless his heart. He's just going to gum everything. Oh, we love him. Bless his heart. He's just such a good boy. And I did post a video of him, and I can share it on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page. He was laying in the back, and I just put chicken feet on him for fun. And all the chickens are eating off of his body. It was hilarious. Anyway, the third Daily Winnie goes to this guy, Glenn. Let's play it.
They're off in the Travers. And American Freedom and Arrowgate are sent along from the inside. And there on the outside goes Lauban after them. So Lauban moves up alongside of American Freedom early to set the pace. And then it's Arrowgate. Run Runner on the outside is running along in fourth position early on as they make their way into that first turn. Anaximandros is next. Destined to the inside. Then Connect and Gift Box. My Man Sam, Forever Doro and Creator, Governor Malibu, and Exaggerator is dead last early on, but the pace is very fast here. They went a quarter in 23 1/5 seconds, and they race on to the backstretch with the leader, Arrowgate. Arrowgate is on top. A three wide, Lauban is second. Between those two's American Freedom running in third, Destin is fourth. Then Gunrunner on the outside of Anaximandros. Three lengths more back to Connect. Gift Box is after that. Exaggerator still near the back of the field. He just has one horse beaten after a snappy 46 4/2 mile. So the Bob Baffert trainees are 1-2. It is Arrowgate in front of American Freedom as they head toward the half-mile pole. Lauban is third on the outside. Destin and Gunrunner right behind them. Connect is six lengths off the lead. And then comes Gift Box on the outside of Anaximandros. Creator is still about eight lengths behind. And Exaggerator continues to just linger at the back of the field after three quarters in 1:10 4. Around the far turn, Arrowgate and American Freedom will turn for home. These stablemates are 1-2 here in the Travers. Gunrunner is third. Connect is fourth. Gift Box is next. Exaggerator is coming wide as they come to the top of the stretch. It is Arrowgate and Mike Smith. Oh, they've opened up a six-length lead here with 1 furlong to run. They've left the field railing behind. American Freedom and Gunrunner are far behind Arrowgate. What a commanding performance. He won the Travers by 12. Oh, what a race he ran today. American Freedom was second. Gunrunner was third.
Oh, my God. I would tell you where Exaggerator was, and because Exaggerator likes to run like Zenyatta, like at the back of the pack, and then he was obviously the favorite, and he always swoops around him. You don't know if he swoops around him because Arrowgate was so far ahead that the cameras weren't even back there. They had already stopped watching him, and so Arrowgate actually set a track record over the weekend, and a Travers record as well. So congratulations to Arrowgate. I was so excited because I believe Rafael
Mike Smith
Bajorano
was the jockey.
But see, that's what I was going to say is Bajorano was the former jockey, and I don't know why he didn't ride him today. And so I was like, go, go, my God, go, go. Oh, crap. Are you serious? When they were like, and Mike Smith. I was like, oh, geez.
And for new listeners, there's nothing personal there. She just holds a grudge for a very long time. And Mike Smith rode Zenyatta on her last race when she lost. So
she did not lose. And he did not ride. That race never happened.
So that's why we're still holding a grudge. How many years later now is that?
It doesn't matter, Glenn. It doesn't make it go
women
away.
Women have long memories. That's one thing I've learned being married for 30 years.
I
women
almost forgave him with the whole shared belief thing, but riding shared belief. But then I had to let it go.
This Arrowgate, my gosh, talk about a horse coming out of nowhere. This is his fourth start at his first stakes debut and kills it, breaks a track record. This certainly does shake up things for later in the year.
Yeah, well, now they're saying, oh, he's a contender for Horse of the Year and things like that, or three-year-old Horse of the Year. So it was definitely an impressive win. He's won four races and none of, like you said, first stakes race, but he's won at Del Mar, and he's a kind of a California boy. So I guess he was sold in Keeneland for the yearling sale for $560,000. So somebody knew something about this horse. They're like, oh, yeah, we'll spend over $500,000 on this horse. So,
and he went out as a long shot. Exaggerator, I guess, was the favorite. And this one went out as a, by the way, there goes Exaggerator. He's back to the barn. So he went out a long shot at 12-1, paid $25 on a $2 bet to win.
Yeah.
So, did very well.
Bob Baffert trained. Yeah, it's just,
Breeders' Cup, baby. Breeders'
Cup. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. This is going to be the best Breeders' Cup ever. Except for, every other one.
Yeah, exactly. So, you say that every year. She says it every year.
I do.
But, when you think about it, breaking a track record, that's the fastest Travers in 147 years history of the race.
I was going to say, the Travers has been around for forever. I don't know how long.
147 years. So not too bad. Not too shabby.
That's incredible. And they're saying that now, Arrowgate has a half-sister that is going to be in the Keeneland September sale. And the guy that owns that is like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because now Arrowgate's half-sister, they're expecting to go for a lot more money.
Well, we have our first guest on the line. I just wanted to mention before we get to her that Elisa Wallace, of course, who is one of our chosen ones that we follow here in the show, and I do the Horse Husbands episode with her husband, Timothy, is over in England. Well, she's made the big time now because Horse and Hound did an article on her, and Jennifer will post a link to that on our Facebook page. You can go read that, but it was a whole article on her making her debut run, her first run over there at Burley this weekend. I thought it was interesting because Elisa said that she's only ever watched Burley on TV, and she admits that she has vomited a couple times since watching the cross country course preview. So she's a little nervous for the big jumps.
I don't blame her. That is the biggest cross-country course on the planet.
One of the other things I did not know about her, and we've known Elisa for, years, and I've known Timothy for a long time to do a show with him. I didn't know that she majored in art in college and specializes in welding life-size sculptures of horses.
I didn't know that either. I was pretty surprised to read that.
I didn't know that. I didn't know she welded number one. I didn't know she did sculptures. So there you go. Learn something new every day. There's a lot more in the article.
A Horse and Hound, professional journalists.
They're like the newspaper
deep
in all of Europe.
So
Jennifer will post a link to it. You can read the article and see the pictures. They're having a great time over there getting ready for her to, I guess she heads over to Burley tomorrow with the horses. She's somewhere else in England now. So there we go.
That's awesome. Well, is our first guest ready?
Yep.
Well, we've got Becky Sweeney from Happy Hooves, and that is a, I guess, Becky, first of all, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. Before I tell everybody, why don't you tell everybody what Happy Hooves is?
Sure. Happy Hooves is a therapeutic equestrian center in the upstate of South Carolina, and we have been open since 2001, and we work with a variety of special needs children and adults, as well as at-risk youth, and help them with any disabilities they may have, any issues they're struggling with, and just really our hope is that they are healed and benefit from the power of therapeutic riding.
And we don't know already, but talk to us about how important it is for these people to be around horses.
Sure. Well, yes, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir here, telling everyone how great it is to be around horses. Anytime I feel like anyone's at the barn, you really do leave better, calmer, more relaxed, just all around recentered. But the kids that come out, and we do have predominantly children who ride with us. They're kids who, you know, may be in wheelchairs or walkers, children with cerebral palsy or Down syndrome. And they'll come out and they'll have a chance to take care of a horse and be, of course, teamed up with the therapeutic riding instructors and our volunteers. And what they'll do is, you know, every week they come, they get to ride their horses, and we work on whatever issues their parents and therapists and doctors have wanted them to improve on. So, for example, if it's a child with cerebral palsy and their muscles are really tight and they're just real tense, what we'll do is we'll put them on the horse, and that rocking motion is very similar to the walking motion that we all experience every single day. What it does is it, as a child with very tense muscles, starts riding the horse, the rocking motion helps loosen up their muscles and just makes them relaxed. And then what we'll do with them during the therapy lesson is play games. And the kids just think they're playing games with their horses, but we're working on, again, what they need to improve on. So, for example, if they have some muscles in their arms that are real tight, we'll have them reach out and put hair bows on the horse's manes or decorate the horse's ears with rings or, you know, different clip-on jewelry. And all that really just helps them stretch out their muscles and improve their overall sense of well-being.
Now, you guys are a certified PATH center, which is the Professional Association of Therapeutic Horsemanship. Talk to us a little bit about PATH.
Right, yes. PATH International is the overall organization for therapeutic riding, and we have four therapeutic riding instructors on staff. And they, what they do is, it's just a group that oversees all the instructors and the facilities and makes sure everything is safe and everyone has continual education and it's just the best ride possible for special needs children and adults. We are one of four premier accredited facilities in South Carolina, which just means we adhere to the highest standards of safety and training, just to make sure that, again, the children and the horses are safe during their therapeutic lessons.
Now, is this a program where kids do it, like, during the school year or only during the summer? What's the schedule?
So I guess each facility is different, but at Happy Hooves, we do have a year-round program. We have a covered riding arena, so we're able to ride when it's cold as well as when it's really hot. So our covered riding arena really helps with that. But yes, it's a year-round program. We have about 200 children come throughout the year. Some come for individual therapy lessons once a week. Others come for a school program called School of the Barn, where they come during their school day and they have a therapeutic riding lesson with a therapy instructor. And then they also do equine assisted learning activities with myself and their teacher or guidance counselor. And the whole purpose of them being here is just for them to benefit in their everyday lives. So, you know, for example, if they're working on just real basic measurements at school, what we'll do is we'll take them and we'll help them measure the horses, and they'll learn how to measure the feed and, you know, just work on different things like that. So it helps make it more applicable in their school life and in their everyday life as well.
And that's awesome. I got to know, though, with 200 kids coming in and out of that place, how on earth do you find angel equines like you do?
It is a very hard process. We do lots of weeding out, and we have about 18 horses that we use in our therapeutic riding program. And it is a very, you know, difficult process finding horses that are able to have a variety of riders on them. We have four ponies, and the rest are just average size horses, and we have a couple draft mixes as well. And what we do is we put them through a very rigorous training program, and we like to call it making them bomb-proof. So we have experienced able-bodied riders work with them and the therapeutic riding instructors, and we, you know, open umbrellas and shake bags at them and just make any kind of, you know, scary noise that you think they might come across, so that when you do have a child who, you know, is on them the special needs, the horse is literally bomb-proof and just can really be okay with lots of different distractions and noises, and whether it's coming from the rider itself or the vicinity around them. So
where do most of the horses come from? Are they donated, or do you go out and find them? How do you get them?
Sure. We do have some word of mouth, and people, you know, keep their ears out for us, but a lot of our horses come from donations or free long-term leases. For example, we have a couple therapy horses here who have had riders who have competed in the show world just for years and years, and for whatever reason, maybe they're getting older and going off to college or getting married and having kids, and they're finding that they still have this great horse that's in pretty good condition and loves working with people, but they just don't have time for it. So what we do is we team up with them, and we just find out if they're a good mix, a good match for our program, and work with them. And what's great about our free lease is, you know, they can let them be part of our therapeutic riding program, and then when their life is ready and things have moved on, then the horse has been well taken care of and loved, but it can, again, go back to the original owner. So it works out well for everybody.
Now, you guys have a fundraiser coming up, before we run out of time, that is near and dear to my heart, because the two things are my favorite, wine and equine. Talk to us about that.
Yes! Well, this is our, yes, it's going to be wonderful. This is our fifth annual Wine and Equines fundraiser, and it's you can find all the information at happyhoovessc.com, or, of course, our Happy Hooves Facebook page has tons of great pictures. But our Wines and Equines night is a night of therapeutic riding demonstrations, and we're going to have a musical quadrille where, you know, they'll accompany or the horses will ride to music. And we're also going to have great wine and food. I believe there's a whole hog pig picking going on. And all the funds we raise go to Happy Hooves, which, of course, is a nonprofit. So please spread the word about that, and it will really help out our therapeutic riding program.
So I have a question for you before we wrap, and that is, yes, without using names, is there a story that really stands out? Somebody that you went, wow, this is, you know, there's those special ones that, you know, stand out sometimes. Is there one of those for you?
Sure, sure. We do have, there are tons of stories. That's what's great about therapeutic riding. It's, you know, every time you come, it's just so rewarding for the volunteers and the students and the therapists. And we do have lots of autistic riders who ride in our therapeutic riding program. And just about every week, we have a young man who has been riding with us for over 15 years. And he'll come into the barn just really charged up and running around a 1,000 miles an hour, and just really high, intense energy. And what we'll do is, when we actually get this young man on the horse and riding, it's like just this huge sense of relief is washes over him. And we're walking and sidewalking next to him, and there have been countless times when I actually stop and look up because I worry that he's like fallen asleep on the horse or just has really, you know, something has happened. But really, the horse's gait, and I guess their breathing and overall presence, has really just taken this young man who's, you know, in the autistic world, and just has lots of internal issues that he's working on, and just riding the horse around in circles really, really helps him and calm down. And we'll see parents crying on the outside, just seeing how calm their child are and how at peace they are. And it's just been wonderful. And this is our 15th year doing it. And we really do see miracles happen here every day. We've also had autistic children speak their first words on horseback. They won't speak to their teachers or therapists or parents, but in order to get a horse to go, they will. They'll speak to their horse and say walk or walk on or say the horse's name. And it's just really powerful. Do I understand everything that's going on in therapeutic riding? No, I don't think so. I think there's a lot that we just don't understand, but it really is the power of the horse and teaming up with them that, you know, makes this healing happen. So I'm just really grateful to be part of it.
Well, Becky, thank you so much for what you do and everything, all your volunteers. I know that these kind of programs mm-hmm. cannot work without the tons of volunteers and man hours that are put into it. We really appreciate yes. what you do. And what's the website again?
Sure. Well, you're very welcome, and I'm so glad to be here. Our website is happyhoovessc.com, and Happy Hooves also has a Facebook page with tons of pictures, and that tells our story of Happy Hooves for the past 15 years as well. So thank you so much. I've really enjoyed speaking with you.
And Booze and Horses is September 20th. I mean, Wine and Equines is September 29th, 24th, right?
That's right. Okay, Booze and Horses might be somewhere else, but yes, Wines and Equines is September.
Well, you're really close September to the mountains of Tennessee, which is why I went with Booze and Horses. You're really close.
That's right. Well, it'll be Wines and Equines this year, and we will revisit the fundraising process next year. Yeah, thank you for the suggestion.
You go too much further, and it's moonshine and horses. So, well.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know if we wanted that crazy.
Thank you, Becky. Take care.
Thanks. Take care.
And hello to Melinda, by the way.
What's a Templeton Thompson song? Booze yes. and Horses?
Yes, something
what
like that.
What is it with booze and horses? Yeah, that's how I live my life. Go, girl.
Very cool. You know, there's so many of those programs around the country that do such good work that are certified and PATH instructors. They have an awards ceremony every year for their at their annual convention. And Lisa Wysocki, who co-hosts for you occasionally when you're out, she is involved in the PATH program, and she's going to come on, and we're going to do a special episode later in the year with the winners of the awards at the PATH convention. So that should be fun to get them all on and chat with them. They do good work every day. Well, do you want to talk about Omega Alpha? What's going on in Omega Alpha world?
Well, let's see. Which product am I using now? obviously, the Testo's Boost is still really helping Joey and his energy level out. You know, it's a natural testosterone booster. And
you started that after Dr. Chang was here the last time, right?
Yes. Yeah, I did. And it's made a different horse. It's absolutely incredible. And it's for those horses that just need a little more kickstart. You know what I mean? Like, they just need a little more oomph. And Joey is owned by a 13-year-old girl, and dear God, every 13-year-old girl's horse needs more oomph. Because they just wear them out. Another thing, obviously, that you can work on, and we've got that horse Rio here, and I started him on the Gastra FX because he came to us like under, you know, it's just a wiry thoroughbred. He's 16.3 and he's just, you know, kind of poor looking, I guess is what I should say. Like, it just doesn't have a great coat. And so to me, that just screamed. And he's the one that bit me when I touched his tummy. So after Jennifer said, oh, that horse has ulcers after he bit me on the shoulder because I touched his side, we started him on Gastra FX. So I'll keep you guys up to date on that. But it's such a great product too. And that is their stomach support formula. So you really can't go wrong. They've got a product for everything. Oh, my horse is this. They've got something for it. The Herbicoat that they gave samples for to everybody. Oh my gosh, it just smells so good. It's like citronella and lavender oil and all sorts of sunflower oil and aloe vera. And it's a great spray to put on their coat and really make them better. So I could go through the whole entire Omega Alpha catalog if I had one. But definitely check them out at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Thank you, Jamie. Well, coming up next is somebody I've known for a very long time, and we've worked together, well, since almost the beginning of the Horse Radio Network. And that is Hope Hand, who is president of the United States Para Equestrian Association. Hey, Hope, how are you?
Long time, Glenn. We haven't chatted for a while.
I know. And you know what's funny, Jamie, is I've known Hope. Hope, we've known each other for 9 years, probably, and done many shows and fundraisers together and everything. And I've always just called her the big boss. And today I decided to just ask what her official title was, because I've always just known her as the big boss. So I don't know. But Hope, we got an Olympics coming up, don't we?
Oh, yeah, I'm so excited. I'm heading off to the Grand Oaks training camp, which is in Wearside.
Wearsdale.
Near Ocala, Florida. Yeah,
yeah, it's in Wearsdale, yeah. And Grand Oaks is the perfect place for you guys to do a training camp.
Have you been there?
Oh, many, 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 many times, yes.
I'm excited to see it. It's quite a place.
You got to check out the carriage collection, too. It is just unbelievable.
Wait, and they're doing a great job promoting the para-equestrian team. They invited everybody on the first for a mock competition. So I just want to let our listeners know that 10 o'clock at Grand Oaks, please come and see the team off.
So, and when is that? What day?
A lot of fun. That's September 1st, that's Thursday at 10 o'clock.
Okay. Thursday at 10 o'clock at Grand Oaks.
Everybody's invited. Free admission.
Very good. Tell us a little bit about the team. Who's on the team this year, and what are they riding?
Well, we have our veteran, Becca Hart, and she is, I'm trying to think, what is her horse?
Schroeder's Romani?
Romani. I think she's a Hanoverian.
Actually, a Danish Warmblood, 2002 model.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And, of course, Rebecca's been around forever and is, you know, one of the stalwarts of the team.
Right. She's done two Paralympics, so she is our veteran. Along with this, and the rest of the gang, first-timers, Sydney Collier, she was at the WEG, our youngest rider at the WEG at 16, so she's so excited about, you know, making her Paralympic debut.
And everybody will remember Sydney from her dog. Her dog and Sydney became very popular at the last WEG.
Yes, Sydney and Journey.
Yep.
Journey was our mascot.
Yep.
That poodle could do everything but ride a horse. and then we have Annie Peavy, who was also a WEG. She debuted at the 2014 WEG. And this will be her debut at the Paralympics. And she's riding a Hanoverian Lancelot Warrior. And then we have first-timer Gigi McIntosh. Her formal name is Margaret McIntosh, who used to be an accomplished eventer at the prelim level. And that's actually how sustained her injury and later became a para. She just couldn't stay off a horse. So she's so excited about her debut at the Paralympics and having the chance to be a Paralympian. And then we were fortunate enough, it was unfortunate for the Danish team that lost the horse due to an accident, which happened to free up a spot, a fifth slot for an individual, which allowed Roxanne Trunnell to make team as an individual. And she only got that notice about a week ago.
Oh, wow.
So it's unbelievable that she's getting this opportunity, and we're so happy to have her. She's been one of our top riders, you know, for many years, and she was also a WEG rider. So this is this really highlights the team. We have a great team, and I'm really looking forward to it.
It is really a good team, and of course, now they all ride. For those that don't know, they all ride dressage, and they're at different. There's different grades within the para, depending on what your disability is, and they rate all that. We won't get into all that right now, but up to what level test are they riding?
The grade fours ride up to a level, a third level test.
Okay.
So it goes from grade one, it could be more comparable to training level. But the way Para looks at it, you really can't compare it to the levels because we need an FEI walk. So what that means is to, even if you have a grade 1A rider, which is only a walk pattern, the walk has to be FEI quality. So we're looking for a horse that is first, second, third level quality walk. So it's really not equivalent to going up the levels like it is for the able-bodied rider. And as you know, with able body, you're bringing in young horses. So that's not really the case because these horses are highly trained. The riders are riding horses that are accomplished at all three gates.
Right. Well, you know, too, you guys must feel a little better that the Olympics, the Rio, you know, the Olympics that just finished went off pretty well. So you have to be feeling a little better after all the warnings and everything heading down there after that one did go off pretty well.
And from my understanding from Will Connell, the sports director for USEF, the Brazilians did a fabulous job. It was beautiful. The venue's beautiful. So we're really looking forward to it. And you know, the media, you know how the media is. They like to dramatize a lot of things. But I'm really happy how, you know, our team's fared and without really any incidences.
Well, we're big supporters. We're going to be behind you, and we'll be checking in, keeping an eye on the news, and we'll definitely report how well you guys are doing. Now, the Olympics starts is September 12th through the 16th. Isn't that correct?
I believe our first ride starts on the 11th.
On the 11th.
I head out to Rio on the 7th, and unfortunately, I'm going in a neutral position because I'm a member of the Jury of Appeals, so I'm representing.
You can't root? You can't stand up and cheer?
I will cheer for all of them. and I will be reporting back on Facebook, and also please look for the coverage.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah, different role for me.
Well, Hope, thank you so much for filling us in. Good luck to everybody.
Thank you, Glenn. Okay.
All right. Take care.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Good luck.
How exciting for them to get to go down and do that.
Oh, my gosh. So cool. It's just incredible. And I was like looking up all the different horses. Oh, they're just stunning.
And,
it's,
you know, most
stunning.
Of these horses have had a career in able-bodied dressage and then are donated, in many cases, are donated to the rider. So it's always hard to find the right horse in this, you know, because they're doing higher level tests. And some of the riders will use some aids. They'll have an attachment on the saddle, or there'll be something in the stirrups. There'll be something that's helping them out a little bit. And there's rules about all of that, depending depending on the grade and all of that. But they are some of the most fun people to be with. We did a fundraiser with Alltech 2 years before the World Equestrian Games in 2010, so 2008. And we did a fundraiser with Alltech, and I know Rebecca Hart was there, so she's been around for a long time. Hope was there, and Missy Ranshausen was there. It was a lot of fun. We did a TV event. Samantha hosted it. It was just a lot of fun, and we had a great time, raised a lot of money. So we've been working with them for a very long time, and it is fun to watch. I had a good time watching it at WEG.
That's awesome. I was just laughing, too, when she was like, you know how the media is.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that nobody actually considers us
no,
media
we're not media,
or journalists.
No, we're just a couple of
It's probably
the
for the best.
We're not breaking any exclusive stories. We're just talk show people. That's what we are. All right. We're going to talk a little bit about the movie we saw, and a couple of people have mentioned it. It's called The Dark Horse.
Oh, I see. I think you're talking about Pete's Dragon, because I saw that yesterday.
Okay. Well, how was Pete's Dragon?
Like, tremendously sad.
Why do we make these movies for children?
Oh, my gosh. Not to steal your movie review,
no, go ahead.
In the first 3 minutes, the kid's parents die. He's 5 years old. He's in the middle of the wilderness. He gets out of the car, and then he's about to get eaten by wolves. What the hell?
Welcome to the children's movie of today.
I was with six children and another mom, and every one of us cried. Repeated, like, multiple times. There was one point where the little boy was crying into his mother's shoulder, saying, oh,
made Bambi look mild, huh?
Unbelievable how many times they made you cry. It was the saddest thing ever. It was unbelievable. Now, being Disney, has a very happy ending. I loved the ending of the movie. But, Oh my gosh. Seriously? This little 5-year-old boy, he's like in the car with his parents, and then the car flips over. And I mean, this is first 2 minutes. It's like, if you haven't seen Pete's Dragon, you know, I'm not ruining it for you. But then he's like by himself in the woods. I start crying because I have a child who's 3. And like, what would I do? My little baby was out in the woods. And then, like, you know, there's no dragon to save him. He'd have been eaten by wolves. But it was good. But,
bring back Toy Story.
Let me get. Chad was like, we need more Shrek. He's like, funny kids' movies.
Yeah, we do. Toy Story, Shrek. Toy Story was. I thought Toy Story was terrifying in places. I've never
Toy Story
seen Pete's Dragon.
One was horrifying. 2 and 3 got a little better. But yeah, the psychopath in Toy Story. We don't even watch that one. We pretend that one doesn't exist. But oh my gosh, it's horrifying. It was terrible. And I mean, it was, like I said, it was a very good movie. But at one point, Lucas is like, Mom! Mom! And he's hiding in my lap. And he's with a bunch of other guys. He ran over to me through the children to get over to Mommy to hide from one of the scary parts. But it has a happy ending. So there you go. There's your Pete's Dragon. Very good. I'm really glad I saw it. Oh, my God. If you need a good cry, like, in 6 different spots, and you want to be scared to death and then realize that, like, life is short and you could die and your children could be eaten by wolves in the wilderness, this is the perfect movie for you.
All right. Well, if you want a happy movie to go see.
Is yours happy?
Yes, it is a happy movie. It's called Dark Horse, and it is a documentary. It's sort of a story documentary.
So was Pete's Dragon.
It's sort of a story documentary, and it's about this village in Wales who gets together, all these characters, and there are characters in this, get together. And some of them, let's just say, need a dental plan because they have very few teeth. But they get together, and they decide to breed a racehorse. And this documentary is about their breeding of a racehorse and what happens to the life of this racehorse. And believe me, it's not all roses and sunshine. Just like it is with all of our horses, they go through the same thing. But it's just really cool to see the story of how this town came together with this racehorse. And it's a town that was kind of destitute. All the coal mines had closed, and it was a mining town, and it wasn't having good times. And this is the thing that cheered the town up. Now, the one thing I will say is you are going to get a headache concentrating on this movie, trying to understand the Welsh accents, because the Welsh accents, I think, are the toughest. And some of these are pretty thick. So you know what happens after about 15 minutes, you start to get it and you start to get in a rhythm. But then if they talk too fast, you lose that part. You know, I a couple times I looked at Jennifer and said, what'd they say? And she said, I have no idea.
You're Homer Simpson. What'd that guy say?
Yeah.
What'd that guy say when I say what'd that guy say?
Exactly. I had no idea what they were said, but you get the gist of it. And it is it's an excellently made movie. The cinematography is great in this movie. In this documentary, the cinematography is great. And of course, because it was a modern horse, it was in the late 2000s, they were able to show you real footage too. So, you know, of the racehorse and the races. So that made it extra special. And they had a lot of real footage of the owners from this town at the races. So they didn't have to make all that up. You know, they didn't have to refilm anything. So that was kind of cool. It was a neat show. I would recommend it to any horse person to watch this. It's called Dark Horse. And it's out on pay-per-view right now. That's where we got it. So it just came out of the movie theaters. It's in pay-per-view. It'll probably be on Netflix before long. But I highly recommend it. It was worth the $4 that we paid for it.
That's awesome. Well, good. I'm glad that worked out. It's so funny. You're like, and they decide to breed a racehorse. And I was thinking of my mare in foal that I have. And my dad constantly goes, see, when's that baby going to win the Kentucky Derby?
Well, you know, after watching this movie, you might change courses with that baby.
Oh, yeah, because it'll be the first Oldenburg ever to win the Kentucky Derby.
Do they have Oldenburg races?
I don't think so.
Big, slow, lumbering races down the track.
And that's so funny. It's like, oh, we're going to breed a racehorse and win the Derby. Like, no, Dad.
No.
That's not at all. But I'm glad somebody is breathing race. So did it have a happy ending? Was it like a successful? Was it they all go broke and end up on the street? Like, what happens?
I'm not telling. You gotta watch the movie.
Oh, come on.
Jeez. I'd give this a 5 out of 6. And the only reason I'm not giving the 6 is
it didn't have subtitles.
The parts we didn't understand, it should have subtitles. But it was there are some characters. The characters are what makes this movie.
Well, let us know when it comes out on Netflix.
Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on that and see. But yeah, if you do have access to pay-per-view, it's worth a couple bucks. All right, let's take a break with Patty Hall and Settle Down Cinderella. We're going to be right back. We got the Wacky World of Horses coming up with Kristen. Also might have a list for you before the day's out because we're running out of the month and I have the next installment of Study Show. And there's some good ones on there. So we'll be right back.
Friday night and the phone won't ring. You let it get you so blue. You're climbing the walls of your pink bedroom. Feels like the world's leaving you behind. There's a storybook ending. It's waiting for you. Settle down, Cinderella. Keep it together. Your handsome fella will ride up sooner or later. Take you away. Yeah. Settle down, Cinderella. Love's gonna find you someday. You just had a crystal ball. If you could see what I do, you know it ain't nothing. We ain't all been through. I've cried those tears once upon a time. Yeah, I wore no shoes. Let our sister just listen. Your wish is gonna come true. Real soon. Sunday soon, yeah.
was Settle Down Cinderella with Patty Hall. You can find all of her music at pattyhall.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek here, and I am with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair. We appreciate you stopping by on this Monday. And speaking about stopping by, we're having a listener meetup at the Colorado Horse Park, and that's on September the 17th. This is a Saturday. There's a three-day event going on that weekend. That'll be Cross Country Day, and it's also their annual fall festival. So there's going to be tents and food and all kinds of stuff. We're going to meet at 10 a.m. They told us to meet at the Big White Festival Tent. So we're going to be meeting at the Big White Festival Tent. I've never been to the Colorado Horse Park, and apparently it's quite a busy day because they're having this big festival. So we'll meet there, and then we can, apparently at the Colorado Horse Park, you can see a lot of jumps from one location, so you don't have to walk a ton. So that's kind of nice, and hopefully you can make it. If you're in the area, stop by. We'd love to meet you. Jennifer and I will be there. Christy from the Certified Horsemanship Association lives not too far from there. She's supposed to be riding over. Kim Baker, who's done the readings on the horses, Jamie, she's not too far from there, so she's going to try and make it. So we'll have some hosts from the Horse Radio Network there.
Now, is that this weekend or the next weekend?
September 17th. September.
Okay. September. Gotcha.
Yep.
Well, September is this weekend, scarily enough.
Oh, it is. You're right. Time flies.
So
September 17th. Yep. So we'll see everybody there. It'll be fun. It'll be the end of our vacation. That'll be the last day, and we're going to hang out with some friends. So that'll be
very.
And you're the
awesome
friends we're hanging out with. One other thing here in the news, it was interesting, speaking about Horse and Hound, they published an article. They did a survey in England to find out what people thought were the most most dangerous sports. And then they took a look at what were the most dangerous sports. So the UK healthcare provider Benenden did this survey, and they compared the, you know, people's attitudes towards popular sports and the ones that were actually the most dangerous. And what they said was that they rated equestrian sports the third most dangerous sport. And they put boxing and rugby before equestrian.
They actually do publicly punch you in the face.
Exactly.
In both of those sports.
Exactly. Yeah, rugby's tough. So now what they did is then they took a look at what were the most dangerous sports. And this is how it rated. And I was surprised at this. So the top three most dangerous sports, and this is in England now, is football, which is their soccer. So soccer apparently is the most dangerous sport. Running is the second most dangerous. I guess twisted ankles, people falling down, I don't know. Rugby is third. And football was six times more risky than people perceived. So soccer, I guess getting kicked and breaking legs and things like that. Cycling was
My God, if you watch a soccer match or a football game, you would think those people are dying. And maybe they're judging it
they
on the fact that these people look like they're really getting hurt.
Yeah, and you know what, though? They do a lot with I'd have a headache after playing soccer. They're just banging each other in the head, all kinds of crap. Cycling was the fourth greatest cause of injuries. I can see that after watching Olympic cycling and all those crashes. Swimming was in there. Other than drowning, how do you get hurt?
Oh my gosh, I pulled a muscle. I don't know. I don't know. Did you ever see that meme going around? Like, if you think that you don't matter, imagine in an Olympic event, the lifeguard at a swim meet.
Yes, exactly.
There's a picture of a lifeguard like sitting there bored.
I mean, cramps? I don't know what you break. Maybe diving boards. But diving boards are probably the cause of most of the accidents.
But that's actually not, that's diving.
Yeah. I don't know. Weightlifting and bodybuilding is in there. Tennis is in there. Then martial arts. Horse riding was at the bottom of the list with only badminton players reporting fewer problems. How do you get hurt playing badminton, by the way? That's another one. But wouldn't you think horseback riding would be further up the list?
Yeah, I mean, was this just a study from this Olympics?
No, this wasn't Olympics. This was a study done in England by this healthcare provider. So they were taking actual statistics based on, you know, what they were getting in, and this is what they found.
Okay, so this could be like kids' sports.
Yeah,
this
everything.
Could be adults. Everything. This is everything.
Yep.
So soccer injuries, running, rugby, all of those sound pretty. Yeah, I mean, I guess kids, if you're doing the swimming, that can be dangerous.
Yeah, you jump off the side and miss, or yeah,
riding bikes. I don't know.
Yeah, I was just surprised that equestrian sports, because every time I've ever taken Jennifer to the hospital, and every time I hear about people going to the hospital, when you say you have a riding injury, the ER always gets prepared for the worst.
Oh, see, this is done in the UK, and the people in the UK are smart enough to wear helmets.
Ah, that's it.
That's the deal.
However, there was one caveat to this story. Previous studies have shown that some equestrian disciplines pose a much greater risk than others. Can you guess which one is the riskiest?
Western pleasure.
For the horse, maybe. No, for the rider, it's eventing.
It's eventing.
70 times higher than horse riding in general. And if you're competing at the highest levels of eventing, the risk was 180 times greater of being injured.
I feel like this was not written by a horse person, because horse people don't call it horse riding. They call it horseback riding.
Yeah, this is probably part of the study, right? But yeah, that was written by Horse and Hound. So I don't know a little more about it. But yeah, you picked the riskiest sport there, Jamie.
I would not. That does not surprise me.
Doesn't surprise me either. Jennifer did too. And judging by the number of hospital visits we made, it was. But you know what was funny is most of the hospital visits we made with Jennifer were not from riding in competition or even training. They were on the ground.
I'm telling you, whenever horses start freaking out and people are like, get off, get off, get off, I'm like, hell no. I'd rather
safer
sit
up here.
This thing out. I'm safer up here.
Now,
I'd
I did much notice rather that one of our
this jerk is
auditors,
be way harder.
I don't know if you saw the video, but one of our auditors took a spill over the weekend at a show in mounted shooting. Did you catch that?
I did.
She rode it well. She rode that buck, boy.
So the horse, she's mounted shooting, and she's going through, and she's what? I think she said she was 67, which is amazing that she's out there doing this mounting shooting, and she shoot, and comes up to like I don't know how it works,
the
but like there's a cone.
Balloon? Yeah.
And she like, the horse jumps the cone, and then she gets a little bit bounced around, and then he just turns around and bucks her off.
She hung on for a while.
She did. She did. It was not a quick buck off.
What do you do with the gun, by the way? I have to watch back and see what she did do. Do you hold on to the gun? Do you throw the gun? Do you try and get the gun back in its holster before you go down?
A real cowgirl is going to stick that thing back in its holster before you fall off.
And you don't want to fall off in your chest, because your chest is where the guns are. They're strapped to your chest. Yeah, they're in your chest holsters. So, yeah.
See, that's cooler if they had, like, gunslinger holsters. Pa-pow! Pa-pow! And they whip
it
out.
Have you ever seen it in person?
No.
It is fun to watch. When you get up to the higher levels, they fly around there. It's fun to watch. Well, let's head off. You know what? That's right. It's Monday, right? So it's time for Horse Nation.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
And today we have Kristen with us from Horse Nation. Apparently Leslie's traveling somewhere. She's always traveling somewhere. Hi, Kristen. Oh, wait a minute. That's my fault. Hi, Kristen.
Good morning.
Good
Hi,
morning.
How are you today?
So where's Leslie this time?
I think she is in transit from somewhere in the Midwest. I just saw a lot of pictures of corn, so...
Okay.
So, yeah, somewhere corny.
That doesn't sound like...
I think she was at the Richland horse trials.
Oh, okay. All right, good. I was going to say, it doesn't sound normal for her to just be doing something boring like corn. You know?
It looks like a very interesting place of corn. So I saw a corn cross-country fence, and they do something wild where it looks like they dip their corn in a melted crock pot full of butter and just eat it that way, which is a little much for me, but, you know, hey...
Hey, you know, the only reason to eat corn is for the butter, right? So, I mean.
Yeah, that's true, you know.
Well, Kristen, you're going to go over some things with us before you do that were featured on Horse Nation. But before you do, you said that you might be at a coffee roastery. Is that a word? A coffee roastery this morning?
Yes. I made it a word. I don't know if it's a word or not, but yeah, I'm sitting in our very glamorous coffee roasting office. It's a basement room at a tech service downtown. They're very kindly renting to us. So yeah, I'm sitting next to the roaster right now. We just finished up for the morning, so, and then I'll be headed back to Horse Nation after that.
Okay, so what's the deal so, with yeah, the coffee roastery roasting place?
Well, it was this part of New York State has a lot. It's a big Swedish population, and of course the symbol of Sweden is the Dala horse. That little wooden horse, you've probably seen it, you know, like they have them all over IKEA. So this is the Dala Hest Roasting Company. And they were going out of business. So my sister-in-law, who owns a Swedish-style farm stand, she purchased the company, and I'm helping her get started. So our signature blend, of course, is called Workhorse, which is very fitting since we love our workhorses, Rocky and Randy. So, yeah, so we did a couple batches of Workhorse this morning, and we're also getting started with our flavored coffee for the fall. So,
how do you learn?
You know, the horses were not a time. Were taking up enough of my time. So,
How do you learn to start a coffee company, and where to get the beans, and how to do all that stuff? Is there like coffee 101 at a college someplace?
There is, apparently. You can go to coffee seminars and coffee learning programs. We lucked out that this was an existing company. So when we purchased it, the seller came along and gave us a couple of sessions and, you know, explained, given all the context. So we have a good bean company that's importing those for us. We already have the roaster now. We have a rough idea how to use it. So, and so far the reviews have been very positive. So we've managed to, you know, keep the quality at the same level. And
it's good.
Yeah, we haven't, you know. We haven't terribly botched anything.
Nobody's spitting it out, so that's good. That's always a positive.
Exactly, yes.
Where do the beans come from?
But yeah, I will. I'll send you some, so you can sample it yourself. And
yeah,
and up to your standard.
Jamie, she's going to send you some too. I gave her your address too, so we can try Workhorse Coffee. Where do the beans come from?
Kind of all over. So our Workhorse is a Colombian Guatemalan blend. Where else have we gotten beans from? My sister-in-law standing here, so I'll just ask her. Oh, yes, Sumatra. We haven't experimented yet with a lot of them, you know, because we are just getting into this. But, yeah, we're probably going to start getting Sumatra beans from Indonesia pretty soon. You know, there's kind of a bean belt sort of around the equator, which is where all these are coming from. So,
a bean belt.
Yeah, the bean belt. Duh.
Look at you, Kristen.
Now, it sounds like this is going to be the way that I shop for wine, which is to buy the horse on the label. So your guys are going to have horses on the, horses on the packaging.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Our label has, the little Dala horse on it, in a little circle. It's very cute. And of course, we might be the first coffee company in the country to have an official hitch. So like the Budweiser Clydesdales, we have the Dala Hest Belgians. So, you know,
nice.
You know that when you're drinking Dala Hest coffee, you're supporting Rocky and Randy. So we are actually going to be developing.
This is how Kristen got smart, Glenn. She's now officially able to write off her horses.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm. Genius.
Good move, Kristen.
Well, see, the joke, though, is that, you know, right now, because we're just starting out, I'm joking that I work for Bean. So so right now I'm being paid in coffee. So we're not, you know, until Rocky and Randy learn to eat coffee beans for grain, then
I thought you were going to tell
get rich quick scheme, but it's a lot of fun.
I thought you were going to tell us that you and your sister don't like coffee and that it's kind of hard to test it. That'd be me. I'd get a company where I don't like the product.
Next we're going to buy a winery. So now how much did we test this morning? We drank probably 4 or 5 cups between us. So if I start talking really fast, that'd be why.
You sounded a little speedier than usual, Kristen.
So much coffee this morning.
That's why. Well, congratulations. Do you have a website or anything? Can people find it? Can they buy it online yet?
I can send you the link. We have it right now. It's a page on our farm's website. So okay. I'll have to send the link to you.
But eventually you're going to be shipping it out and everything?
Yes. Yeah, we'll be able to ship. Right now, if people want to follow it, it's Dala Hest Roasting on Facebook. That's a good way to find us.
All right. And send us over the link and we'll post that for everybody to find.
Yeah, I'll send that to you.
All right. Sounds good. Well, now you have a couple articles here that were fun from Horse Nation from last week. 10 reasons to never, ever get into horses. Now, what prompted this article?
Actually, this is, I think, an online trend. People are writing these articles of, like, you know, 10 reasons to never play soccer, or 10 reasons to, I don't know, never travel to Tanzania, and they show all these amazing pictures of Tanzania. So in that theme, Maria Wachter put together 10 reasons to never, ever get into horses. And of course, it's a tongue-in-cheek, sarcastic list, so we didn't want any readers to be like, what are you saying? You know, don't not get into horses. But some of the reasons are, you know, they're ugly, which is followed by a picture of what I'm guessing is a beautiful Frisian, ridden by this lady in a giant dress. So clearly a very ugly animal.
Yes, just horrible.
All horses are good for... Yes. Oh, yeah, that's the ugliest horse I've ever seen. All horses are capable of doing is pooping, peeing, and eating, and also clearing, you know, 6 of high cross-country fences and pulling loads and doing Grand Prix dressage.
I have to say, Kristen, though, there are days I think that's all they're good for. I'm just saying. There are
some,
We all have those days when it's like,
right now,
God, all these horses do is poop. But, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, some of them are talented. Not all of them. You know, horses hate kids. Horses have no patience. Horses are terrified of things like their own shadows. That one's good. The photo of that is a bunch of police horses in a drill, and they're just like walking more calmly through that than my own riding horse walks through the pasture. So that one's pretty funny. So yeah, it's 10 reasons that horses are actually the best. But you know, it's sarcastic. Horses are the worst. We all know that.
Yeah, that's right. So. They're all terrible. And they make terrible friends, and I like that, how that's the last one.
Yeah, they're horrible best friends. They tell everyone all your secrets as soon as you, you know, it's in one ear and it's right out their mouth. You know, they can't keep it to themselves. They're the worst.
Now, the next article is Let's Discuss Riding Judge. What's that about?
I thought this was pretty interesting. The Bridley Horse Trial, they have their annual Young Event Horse Competition, and this year they're adding a new element. So the Young Event Horse Competition is, I think, for 4 and 5 year olds, and it's, you know, a good place for breeders and producers to showcase their animals. And I think they, you know, try to sell them quite a bit there. But this year they added an element that the judge is Ian Stark, and he's actually going to ride the top 4 horses himself, and that's going to help determine the top placings. So, you know, I phrased this article to try to get discussion going of, you know, could this be the future of horse shows? You know, that the judge rides the top horses every time, you know, within reason. Like, I judge a local 4-H show, so I don't need to jump on the 4-H ponies to pick my winner necessarily. But, you know, but is this a way to maybe start judging horse shows, but the judge actually gets on the horse and takes it for a spin? So what are your thoughts on that, Glenn and Jamie?
Well, this is interesting. I never heard of this before.
Me neither.
Yeah, and you know, one reader commented that it was pretty common overseas. I had not heard of it before myself. So so if it is common overseas, it's definitely not common in the U.S.
Well, they had a specific reason for doing it this way in the young horse divisions. They had Ian Stark on last week's eventing radio show, and he talked a little bit about it. And because it's the young event horse series, these are horses being shown, and they're being judged on their potential to be a 4-star horse, not their actual skill. Mm-hmm. And they were not overly thrilled with results, because a really, really good rider can make a horse of average potential look fabulous, right?
Right.
And what they're trying to do is reward the potential more so than the skill of the rider. So his job is to get on and, as Paul put it, hop off that horse and say, you're busted. This horse is not that fantastic. You're just making him look really good.
Right.
So he doesn't know which horses the judges have chosen in what order. He just says, you're going to get on this group of horses and you're going to give them an evaluation and give it back to the judge. And that's that. He doesn't have any inside information, as the judge says, I like this bay horse over that chestnut horse. All he knows is he's going to get on those horses. It was really a fascinating conversation.
Jamie, does that sound like a fun job you want, to get on all these youngsters and give them a try?
Yeah, but see, I actually think it would work better for me for the judge to ride my horse because I make my horse look bad.
I like this horse a lot.
Really, really nice. It's just she's terrible.
Yeah, you suck. The horse is great.
Horse is awesome.
That's funny.
Truth hurts.
And then, Kristen, you had, of course, we played the Travers earlier, and the outstanding victory, you know, of about 85 lengths, it seemed like, and a new track record. But you guys did an article on some of the upsets over time at the Travers.
Yeah, because Saratoga's picked up that nickname, you know, the Graveyard of Champions, which, you know, of course, sounds very dire, but just refers to the fact that, you know, it's a place where a lot of winners don't necessarily perform, or, you know, the winners are upset. I have a theory it's not any more than any other track, but, you know, because it has this reputation, of course, to sort of celebrate it. So I found four videos of some of the biggest upsets over the years. I could not find any video, of course, of the horse Upset who beat Man O' War. That was Man O' War's only career loss, was to a horse named Upset. And I know Saratoga takes a little credit for that being where the term Upset came from, but that was actually in existence beforehand. It was just a really weird coincidence that this horse named Upset happened to best Man O' War. So that was the first big loss by a winner at Saratoga. That was in 1919. And then after that, you know, 1930 in the Travers, Jim Dandy beats Gallant Fox. And of course, Jim Dandy now has a race at Saratoga named after him, just to sort of commemorate that, because I think after that race, that horse went on to do absolutely nothing else in his life. So that was his only claim to fame. We go up to the 1973 Whitney. Yep, yeah, exactly. That's all you need. I mean, Key Nice is going to be making money on that for a long time, I think. That was, of course, the most recent upset. Key Nice over American Pharoah last year. But, you know, I mean, who else can say, oh, I beat the Triple Crown winner? Only Key Nice. So,
big
good
one
for him.
A big one in this day was the one you have listed here, the 1973 Whitney Onion over Secretariat. Which was a huge upset. Do you want to hear a little bit of the end of that race, guys?
Yeah.
Ruled by reason, fourth, far back, it's true night. On the far turn, Onion in front by a head. Secretariat on the rail, now up to challenge for the lead. Coming to the top of the stretch, it's Onion on the outside. And Secretariat on the rail, up to challenge. They turn for home. There's 3/16 of a mile to the finish. It's Onion on the outside. Secretariat on the rail, stride for stride, heading down the stretch they come. Onion on the outside, Secretariat on the rail. An eighth of a mile to the finish. The leaders heading, stride for stride. Secretariat and Onion. Onion has the lead by a head. Secretariat on the inside, past the 16th ball. It's Onion in front by a head. On the inside, Secretariat.
Yeah, just was a shock to everybody.
Let me just say thank God.
The horse named Onion, too.
Yeah. The Onion Stakes. Like, the race is named after him. Yeah. But I just want to thank God that the Breeders' Cup 2010 took place at Churchill Downs, so I didn't have to listen to Blame Beat Zenyatta, which that race never happened anyway. But thank God it was in Saratoga. I have a bad taste in my mouth with you even honoring that race by playing it, Glenn. Onion, what a ridiculous thing. He was so tired. The whole Triple Crown thing. Famous.
So, yeah, that, you know, that's what happened to American Pharoah too, clearly. You know.
No, yeah. American Pharoah should not have been there at all. It was ridiculous for them to even take American Pharoah to the Travers Stakes. I was at Del Mar that weekend. I was gonna go see American Pharoah. Oh, boop, they shipped him out the day before I got there and took him all the way across the country, blew him out the day before. Terrible, terrible management. Sorry. I don't have an opinion about that if I didn't tell you.
Yeah, she You had to go there, didn't you, Kristen?
She didn't know.
I didn't get that vibe, you know.
Kristen doesn't listen to our show, so she doesn't
bring it up again.
She doesn't know the cans of worms that she opens up.
Kristen, don't send Jamie any coffee because I think
<don't need laughs>
she's wound up enough.
Send her the special Travers roast.
Yes, the Travers roast. Send her that. Or the Mike Smith special. She loves Mike, too. So you could send that over if you wanted to, the Mike Smith special.
Yep. Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
Blame Keen Ice Onion Roast. That sounds amazing. I'll flush it.
Little onion flavoring. That's awful.
Hey, Kristen, seriously, though, I do have friends that own a coffee shop and roast their own coffee and everything. If you need any advice, you just let me know. They like import it and roast it themselves. And it's a super nice place. And they win awards in the West Valley and Phoenix for having the best coffee. So if you guys ever need some advice, they'd be happy to give it to you, I'm sure. They're very nice.
Sounds like I need a road trip, actually. I'll come out.
Come on!
Go ride with you, hang out at your coffee shop. That sounds like a great trip. So
come on out, girl.
Do it in the winter, though. Do it in the winter.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to want to be drinking coffee when it's 120. So, winter.
Well, and you know what? We just did our pumpkin harvest this morning, and I was like, I can't believe we're doing this already. It's still hot, but it's about to get cold up here. So it'll start snowing tomorrow, I'm sure. And, you know, then I'll come visit you guys in the winter.
You're welcome anytime.
All right, Kristen. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day.
HorseNation.com.
They should market that, the Blame Kenai's Onion.
It's bitter. Coffee. It's a very bitter coffee.
It's so bitter. The worst coffee you'll ever have.
It's the strongest, most bitter, awful coffee you're ever going to have. It's probably going
to
sell
well. Blame Kenai's Onion Roast, brought to you by Mike Smith.
You'll have to let us know how the workhorse is. She's going to send you some out. I gave her your address. So
awesome.
We'll have to check that out. I am always so excited when people start new companies. Now, it concerned me a little bit that they were taking over one that failed, but we're hoping that their marketing's a little bit better.
Obviously.
And we'll help them out. We'll promote any coffee that has a horse on it.
We can do coffee giveaways.
Oh, people would love that.
That'd you give fun. Away Starbucks and they have crappy coffee. So
right.
Starbucks gift card and their coffee sucks. So we'll give away good coffee.
Let's wait till they grind some more. They probably have 3 bags. They were just working this morning. So
I know.
let's wait till they actually get production up and running before we start giving their coffee away. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate it. The schedule is, well, Jamie's going to be here Wednesday and Friday this week. Tomorrow we have a best up for you because it's the 5th Tuesday of the month. We don't normally have anything on the 5th Tuesday because it happens so seldom. And then we do have our draft horse episode, the second one coming up already on Thursday. It was our most listened to episode last month is the
Which
draft
one was this?
The draft the horse draft? Episode. Because a ton of draft horse people chimed in and listened.
I just want to do something for our listeners real quick, ladies. Yeah. I didn't get to talk to Kristen about this because I got so fired up, but I was on horsenation.com. And I'm going to post a link on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. And I'm going to do you a favor by posting this on a Monday morning. You just need this on a Monday. Shockingly, this was written by Leslie Wiley. And it's a post called 9 Men We Wouldn't Mind Having Around the Farm. Oh, my God.
Of course, Leslie wrote this.
Of course, Leslie wrote it. It's like archived. It's from like 2013 and somehow I missed it or I just didn't look at it enough. And so I'm going to post that for you now and you're welcome.
Oh, and these are not celebrities. They're just men in pictures with their shirts off.
Like one of them, hey, I was just tacking up your horse in my underwear. Oh, dear God. Okay, sorry.
Oh, my God. The guy that's stacking hay? That's fake. That's a chess suit. No, nobody actually looks like that.
Don't hate the player, Glenn. Hate the game.
That's all fake. And besides, how itchy would you be if you're stacking hay with your shirt off?
Happy Monday.
You're posting it for everybody so they can enjoy.
You're all welcome.
I'm like talking to myself over here.
I'm just typing away over here. Oh, my goodness. I really need help stacking hay. I wonder if that guy's available.
Hey,
husband's been gone for a while.
Hey, one more story because we haven't gotten to do a story about Norco in forever. Do you remember Norco, California, Horse Town, USA, which we went to for a week, had a great time there. And we had Norco stories. When we started the show, we had Norco stories almost every week. There was a story about Norco, which is how the horse thing started, which is how they found us. And we ended up going to Horsetown, USA for a week and doing the shows from there. It is how, because we had so many Norco stories. Well, we haven't had one in a while, but now we have one. It's that Disneyland in California is expanding and doing a Star Wars world, and they had to take over the farm there, which Jennifer and I got a tour of the farm. It's right behind the Fantasyland or whatever. There was a wall where Fantasyland ended and then the farm, and it was right in the middle of all the complexes of all the warehouses, and there was no pasture, pretty much. It was just the farm in the middle of all this activity. And they were closing that, and they were having to move the horses out. Well, they've been boarding them at a stable nearby, and now apparently Disney is proposing to build a horse training facility in Norco, where they can prep the animals, get them trained, and also have some space. They're submitting an application to buy a 5.3-acre site, and they're dubbing it the Circle D Ranch, which is what they pretty much call all of them. And that's where they would do their train their carriage horses and things like that. So they need a permission from the town of Norco. I'm sure Norco's going to say, no, Disney can't buy land in our town. And then they're going to possibly buy this ranch and move out there. So that's the exciting news out of Norco, is Disney might be coming to town.
We're going to have to make another road trip.
Road trip. Disney. I'm ready.
Let's do it.
Jennifer and I both said this. We drove from Norco after you left. We went to Disney the day you left. And we drove from Norco out to Disneyland. It's quite a hike. It's about an hour and a half. So it surprised me that they want to move that far but I guess they only shuttle the horses between the ranch like every 3 days. They bring them up. They do have a holding facility still at Disney. But that was the surprise. Great. It is a hike on those terrific highways of California.
Well, you know, an hour and a half, it's probably 6 miles away.
6 miles. Yeah, that's right. Oh, and one other thing, too, the big podcasting conference next year.
Hold on. Let me finish one story about California. Yeah. Chad is in California right now, and I thought you'd appreciate this. He went to a Dodgers game on Saturday. He's like, you have to take like 12 public transportations to even get there. Then when you get there, you walk in, and he's on call for airline pilot stuff, so he can't drink beer. But thank God. Do you know how much a beer cost at Dodger Stadium?
No idea.
A beer cost. Just. You know, make it
$8.
Yes. Oh, keep going.
For one beer, like a cup of beer.
One beer.
$10.
$17.
Whoa!
For a beer at Dodger Stadium.
How much is a hot dog? $25?
Are you kidding me? I know, right? They were selling the bottled water was $6.50.
Ooh. And of course, what? You're not allowed to bring your own in.
Yeah. You know, it's disgusting. I can't believe
how
it.
How could you afford to get drunk at a baseball game?
You can't. That's why people sneak in flasks. But I think they metal detect you now. They're not looking for weapons. They're looking for flasks.
That's right. They just don't. They want you buying their $17 beer. And that's not a 40, right? It's like
it's a beer. $17 will buy you like 2 12 packs of cheap beer.
Oh, my God.
I know. Just thought you'd like that.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to say that the big podcast movement, the big podcasting conference next year is in Anaheim. So maybe when I'm going out there for that, we can coordinate going to Norco again.
Let's do it. Well, let's That'll just go fun. To Anaheim. Didn't that where Disney World
yeah,
is?
Yeah, that's where Disney World is. Yep, it's in Anaheim. Yep. Let's Not too it. Far from where the podcasting conference is going to be. So we can bring the little one along, go to Disney World.
Love it.
Let's All right, it. Everybody. Thank you. We got to get out of here. We'll see you again here live on Wednesday, but we will have a show for you tomorrow. Best of show. Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you. Awesome, everybody. Have a great day. Spay, neuter, geld. Go look at the horses in the Morning Post. You are welcome. Oh, my goodness.
Do you have any of them around the barn?
I need that guy to help me set jumps.
No distraction there. Breaking something for sure.
He's carrying.